of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. One of the biggest problems that we face today for a Christian, let's just cut out the rest of the world for a second, but for a child of God is frustration and anxiety and a lack of contentment. We're not content. You know, why is it that we joke so heavily about the amount of food that we eat? You know, my joke about how much I pay attention to the clock on the wall, right? Why do we struggle with that? Because we have not learned how to be content with food. Why is it that people get upset over the stock markets and what their bank account is doing, what their work is doing, what all this money that I should be having? We're paying attention to billionaires out there going, well, gee, I wish I had that. Why does that happen? Because we're not content with what we have. Now, what this sermon will not be is an effort for us to stop trying, right? If you're working at something, you're doing something to promote or to better or to whatever, keep working at that. Do not quit. Don't get lazy. Contentment does not mean laziness in work. It does not mean I no longer make money, I no longer gain in this area, I no longer work in this area. Maintain those things. But what this sermon is how is it that I can look at my neighbor and all that they have, right? That commandment, thou shalt not covet, not their wife, not their stuff, just don't covet those things. How can I look over at my neighbor and not covet those things? You have contentment. We've lost contentment as a nation. We've lost contentment as a people. We are very blessed to live where we live and have what we have. If you have or had marriage, be grateful for that person in your life. Be thankful for your kids. Be thankful for your food. Many of us this afternoon, you guys had the choice of deciding what you were going to eat. I pray not a single one of us had to decide how we were going to eat. Why? Because God's been good to us. All right, go ahead and take a look at your wallet. Feel free to do that physically if you need to. Take a look at your wallet or think about your bank account. Right? Now, I do want you to pop your hand up. Raise your hand. You got $3. Bank account, pocket, $3. I got $3. All right. So, and that's, you say, well, brother, that's not a lot of money. But if you have $3 to spend today, you are officially richer than 1 billion people on this planet who live off $3 a day. And if you've got $3 just knocking around that you haven't spent yet here at almost 7 o'clock, you're doing pretty well. Now, I'm not trying to minimize things. Not being able to pay a bill hurts no matter how much you've got $3 in your pocket. But you're doing well. Many of you folks who are retired, if you're living off of a pension, Social Security, if you have a savings account, and just zero in on that right there, if you have a savings account, you are kings compared to the 6 out of 10 Americans who retire with no savings whatsoever. And approximately 3/4 of the entire world. 24% of people in this world on average. Now, where they get that number, I don't know. That wasn't there when they did the tally. But 24% of Americans, or not Americans, but people in this world, retire with money in their account. You're doing pretty good. Praise the Lord for that. And you know what? Some of you don't quit. You guys got side things going on. You know what? If God is still blessing you in order to pay your bills or have a little extra and do a little bit more, praise the Lord for that too. But the problem is we'll have those things and we'll look at people who have more and we go, oh, I wish there was more. And we can't fall into that trap. And again, it's not my point to minimize any concerns that you may have. If you're sitting there with a car that won't turn over, it is easy to look over at people that do have a car that turn over and go, wow, I wish my car would turn over. We're not trying to minimize that. But hey, listen, did you eat today? Did you have somewhere to go today? Right? Are you part of a church that not only teaches the truth, but celebrates the truth? Right? We have to find the things that bring us gratitude. The retiree who faces a large financial crisis can find a part-time job to make the money, to put the food on the table, or even to go on vacation. We've got friends that'll go do, it wasn't DoorDash, it was the thing you did, it was the shopping thing, the My brain is gone. My wife did it for like 2.5 years, and I can't remember what it is. But you know, they see them over at the Meijer. They got the green shirts, and they go and they shop for people, and they bring the food, and they bring it on over to them. Good. They did that just to go take a vacation. They didn't need to do it, but they had the opportunity to do it, and they did it, and they delivered food. It was great. We have the ability to perform and do things, right? I've known people, you know, people like Danielle or Maris, they're at home with the kids. They find more stuff to do to bring in money, right? Why? It's an industrious mind, industrious hands put to work. We can do things for the money. Well, hey, I'm having problems with my relationships, brother. Forget about money. That's a big thing, yeah, but I'm having issues with my relationships, either with my kids, with my spouse, with my work coworkers, whatever. I'm having issues with that. Guess what? God gives you the tools you need to go into those situations and know what to do. The problem is not that you don't have enough. The problem is, one, you're not using what you have properly, and two, we lack gratitude. When we fall into discontent and bitterness, it is because of a lack of gratitude. I say it like this: gratitude is the heart of contentment. Where gratitude can be found, contentment is never far away. Or I like how they put it in the book of Psalm 140, verse 13. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. It is very hard to deal with problems in your life. And we all have them. I'll talk to one person and they'll say, hey, these are the problems that I have. Right? And they'll say, because I have these problems and I see all these people who don't have them, I think there's something wrong with me. Let's take a look at it. Are you doing this with your finances? Are you doing this in your relationships? Is your walk with the Lord like this? Yes. Good. Keep going. And in the Lord's due season, He will answer that prayer when He deems it necessary. Now, I'll go through those things again. Are you doing this with your money? Well, no. All right, well, do that. That's what the Bible says. All right, now do this in your relationships. Make sure your walk is like this. Are you doing this? Well, no, my walk with the Lord is a hot mess. Fix that. You put the tools where they're supposed to go, and things will happen. We're talking about tearing those trees down back over there, right? Raise your hand if you've got a saw. Right? You got that electric saw. Just that's pretty cool. Right? That's very nice that you guys got that. That's awesome. Right? If we don't put it to the tree, is it any good? How many men, I wonder, buy tools that they never use just because we know we need one, right? I'd pick on shoes, but I've got that same problem there too. I bought this tool. Why do you buy this? Don't laugh at me. That's not nice. No, I got this tool. What are you going to use it for? Well, one day when I do this, and we never get to it, and it stays just as brand new as the day we bought it. Why do we get it? Because I want it. Did you need it? No. My heart was not content with what I had. I saw something new and flashy, and I got it. Right? We need to put the tools God gave us into play, or else they'll be of no good to us whatsoever. What Paul delicately puts here is how to live in the right way of what we see in that commandment of thou shalt not covet, or how to be content. If we wanted to boil it down even further, how to get things done when you don't have enough to get them done, or how to get things done when you've got a lot. In verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. You know, I've known a lot of people, they do not know how to get things done when they don't have it in the bank account, when they don't have it in the marriage, when they don't have it in the home, when they don't have it up here. They've got issues and they don't know how to do it. One of the scarier things, though, that I have found is there are some people who don't know how to get things together when they have. Right? There'll be those people, they've got all this money sitting in the bank account, and the church will be in shambles, and we'll have a need here, and we'll have a need there, and they're sitting on all this money over here, and they go, well, you know, the Lord only asked for 10%, so here you go. Right? What did God say about that as far as the church house goes? Right, you've built up your houses, you have nice houses, look at the one that I have. Now, we've got a beautiful building, so you know I'm not talking about us. It's a metaphor, right? We're talking about that, hey, I've got all this ability, right? We had this one guy that I knew, he was a brilliant teacher, just a brilliant mind to him. Pastor asked him one day, hey, can you go and teach the adult Sunday school class? And he said no, because he lacked confidence. What do you need to be a teacher? Yeah, you need confidence. You need someone who can study the Bible. You need someone who can do this. You need something. He cheated himself out of an opportunity, and I kind of felt cheated myself because he was a brilliant Bible teacher. And just, you know, I'm too old. I don't have the confidence. I don't have the this. I don't have the that. And I go, you know what? You have what you're supposed to have. Get after it. Get after it. Now we also see this, that people will have things and it won't be enough, right? Some of the richest men in the world, hey, how much money is enough money? Just a little bit more. Give me just a little bit more, right? 1 million is nice, but have you heard about 2 million, right? Was it Jeff Bezos is on his way to being the first trillionaire? At what point do you just have enough, man? Go fishing. Go do something, man. All right, you've got enough money. You couldn't spend $1 trillion in 4 of your lifetimes. All right, there's not enough stuff to buy for $1 trillion that would justify doing that. There's not enough for sale to do that. Right? He's got all this money. Now, I'm not socialist by any means. He could keep it, but I'm telling a man, get to church, get a hobby or something. You're done. All right, you're cooked through with the cash. Be done. Right? He has too much. Now, what do we do? There's no gratitude there. I need more. Right? Why is it that I talked about a guy who was going to fool around on his partner? You know, why is it that many marriages end with cheating? Because they want more than what they have. Right? You're not content. Do you understand the value of the person that you have in your life? Do you understand the value of the health you have in your body? You have to be appreciative of what you have. Because I guarantee you, for those of us that are sitting here with stubbed toes, there are people with hurting backs. And for those that have hurting backs, there are some people who our entire body is hurt right now. Right? You think about that. Who wish they would have what you had. Be grateful. Think about it this way. Don't try to get what you want, right? Don't look at what you have based on what you want. Look at what you have based on what you deserve, right? And again, I think about some of these millionaires. They started off in low levels. They worked hard. They pushed themselves, so they've got some money in the bank. You know what? You deserve that. You earned that. Congratulations on that. But don't panic, right? Don't sit there and go, well, so-and-so has more, so I've got to be grateful. Keep working. Keep striving. You know, we'll talk about with people who have not. Well, I want this, and I want this, and I want that. No, stop thinking about the wants. Keep doing the work. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you earned it, earned it. If you need it, earn some more. But don't ever look at what other people have and lose your contentment. Right? Well, so-and-so's wife does this. So-and-so's wife does that. So-and-so's husband can do this. So, and that just kind of breaks it. That kind of breaks us in half, doesn't it? As spouses, well, you know, so-and-so, she does this, you don't do that. You know, I heard somebody say this one time, my wife, when I come home, she's got dinner on the table, it's always exactly what I want, she stopped cooking what I don't want, trained her out of that. She makes sure that my chair is cleaned off, the whole house is dusted and spotless, and blah da blah da blah blah blah. And I go, well, that's great, man, but what do you bring into the marriage? Well, I bring money. Okay. So that's what she does, but it's all about how she needs to have value to you. But what do you, are you leading her spiritually? Are you feeding her spiritually for all this effort that your wife is putting in? And then later I would talk to the wife and I said, well, hey, listen, you know, he says you do all these things. She goes, I don't do all those things. She goes, I'll do the best I can, but if it's a hot mess, it's a hot mess. I appreciate that. Why did he need to lie like that? Because in his head, that's what he thought he deserved. Right? We'll get this, one man can sit there, he can do amazing physical things, right? Well, so-and-so's husband built the house. So, you know, can you build us a house? No, you can't. You're not really a man. Right? Wives can sometimes do that with men that cut them right in half. You're not a real man because you can't do this and you can't do that. That's harmful. That's mean. Don't do that. What you're saying is you're looking at the person who loves you more than you deserve, and you tell them, you're not good enough for me. Right? Now, we don't have those issues in my marriage. She absolutely knows that she married down. That's why you attend seminars on water molecules. Right? Because when you look like this, that's what you do. Listen, we need to be grateful. Be so grateful. Next we need to do is we need to be mindful of the things that we have. What are we putting them to use for? Are we taking care of those things? Are we blowing them too fast? Again, we think about money or time, the two big resources that we're all obsessed with, right? Are you wasting your time? You've got a wealth of time. What are you doing with it? Right? When the Home Missionary Baptist Church called me here, and I was able to go full time on my own, yeah, there was the money aspect of it that kind of improved our life situations. But one of the biggest things that has helped me is that great big blank check of time you've written me. Right? I've got all this time. Now, is that my time? It's not my time. Right? Do I give 10% of that time to the Lord? I do not. That is a huge investment I put back into the Lord, into study, into work, into labor, into planning, into thinking of things. I got this brand new little pen here. And why I got this pen, other than the fact that I just can't, you know, leave things alone, but it works with my tablet. It allows me to draw clean lines through maps. Why am I drawing clean lines through maps? Well, you'll find out later if you can't guess. Right? I'm putting planning, effort, thing. I take that and I'm mindful of my time. I think of these young ones right here. I have to be mindful of my time. We spent 2 days all by ourselves. I have to be mindful of my time with my spouse. If the kids are grown and they've moved out, you have to allot some time with them as well. My energies, my efforts, my money, my mentalness, my brain, all those things have to be properly handled. When you have it, you have to be careful with it. Right? We think about that illustration that's given in the Bible where the master gives his servants a certain portion of his money. And many of them, they take that money and they invest it into things. So that when the master comes back, they say, hey, listen, we invested in this and this and that. And look how we have grown what you have given. And you've got that one guy who goes, well, I didn't want to lose it, so I put it in the dirt. Right? I didn't want to lose it. You know, I want to be careful. I got all this money. So I went to Taco Bell a lot. And as a young person thing, right? Right? I bought a boat. I bought this. Bought a flashy new car. I did that. Okay, well, you don't have a problem now, but you're going to have a problem. Why? We're not being mindful of things. You have to put things in the right scenario, in the right cases, to make things work. Right? I've known people, again, who have a wealth of knowledge. And a wealth of knowledge can do one of two things to a person. It'll either better them, or it will spoil them. I've known incredibly intelligent people who were a pain in the neck to live with. They knew everything. And no matter what you say, they know more than you. And they're always ready to talk over you. You know, I was out yesterday, I was driving down the road. Actually, when it's there, it's called a street. You just look it up, figure it out. I'm like, okay, well, thanks. All right, there's no wonder you don't have any friends. But it can spoil somebody. So what do? You take that knowledge, you take that wisdom, you put it to proper use. When you have, you put it to proper use, or contentment will be gone. Why? Because you'll spoil the things that you have. You'll lose them. I remember when we first got married, Danielle's dad asked me, he said, how much money do you have in the bank? I looked at him and I said, honestly, I don't know. It's been a while since I've shaken it. It's a piggy bank. I'm kidding. I made that up. That didn't happen. But he did ask. He goes, he sat me down. Now, you've met my father-in-law. That man is, if a tank were a person, that is my father-in-law. I have personally sat there and seen three of his, I wasn't there when it happened, but he had three fingernails ripped off. I saw him later that day with electrical tape right around it, smelling of brake cleaner, and he had me come on over, help me pull a car out of the back of a trailer, right? This is that man, all right? This absolute truck of a man sat me down and said, well, what's your plans for my daughter? I go, well, sir, I asked you if I could marry her, and you said yes, and that's what I was going to do. He goes, no, how are you going to take care of her? How are you going to have kids? How are you going to take, where are you going to put your money? And that scared the life out of me. One, it's not because I didn't anticipate having to do those things, but there's an accountability that comes with it. We think that because we have, we are above needing to be careful or above using wisdom. If you have, you must use wisdom to put it to proper use. Don't waste it. Grow it. And if you get the opportunity, share it. Share of your time. Share of the money if you get the opportunity to do so. All right, how about this one? Give sacrificially. Right? If you got that opportunity to give to the Lord, give to the Lord. Don't be bashful about it. Again, it's not about pride. You don't want to put your name on it. Don't put your name on it. But if you've got the opportunity to give to the Lord, he's given you so much and absolutely no idea of you ever being able to pay him back. But hey, be a blessing if you can. Right? So if you do have, be mindful, be careful, be scriptural about your actions, put it to use. But how do I do all things when I don't have? And more often than not, that's where many of us are probably going to be. I don't have. Well, the very first step is to be glad for what you do have. Be glad for it. You know what? There have been times where Danielle and I, I might not have had money to get to the gas station to get to work, but we had food. At least I had a job. We had people around us that would help us out. We would take that. You know, one of my favorite things is her parents are just horrendously bad at taking back pop bottles and cans. Right? That got me to work quite a few times. Right? Be grateful. You know, I don't have this, I don't have that, and so-and-so up the street, they just got a brand new car and I could barely put gas in my car. Well, right now, none of us can probably put gas in our cars, but I don't have this, and I'm very discontent because I don't have. Well, what do you have? Because I'll tell you what, getting discontented and bitter is not going to help you. It is an extra thing to carry when you already feel like you're drowning. You need to let that go. Look at what you do have. And oftentimes, God has hidden the solution to your problem in that. Right? I know of a young man one time I was talking, he did not want to get a job. He was very adamant that he did not have to have a job. He had this happening and that happening. But you know what his problem was? His problem was he didn't have money for anything. He couldn't buy, he couldn't move out, he couldn't get groceries, he couldn't get a car, he couldn't get any of the things that he needed for life. But what he absolutely did not want and would never be a solution for him was for him to go to work. It was just not something he saw himself having to do. He demanded the freedom. So he came to me, he goes, well, this is my problem, and I absolutely do not want to hear that I should get a job. I don't want to hear it. I don't need a job. So you know what I did? I opened my mouth, I go, and walked away. That's the only thing I can tell you, right? So there's so many people out there right now not working. Why? Because they can get it for free. Now listen, I'm not preaching at my wife. She's taking care of the kids. The stay-at-home mom is a job. You don't believe me? Come on over, give my wife the day off. You can be a stay-at-home mom for a day or stay-at-home dad for the day, and you'll pick up on it. That is a thing. That is a busy, busy thing. But you know what? If the coffers are getting low and you got to go put your hand into a job, go put your hand into a job, right? Use what you have. Listen, I don't have any money, but I've got these two hands. Lord has given me breath in my lungs. Here I go. Right? We've got some people that over at Flat Rock, some of our friends, they don't have jobs. All they do is they babysit the kids of the people who do have jobs. And they don't charge very much. Kaylee probably never got anything close to what she deserved. But she'd watch our kids for the longest time at a good, decent rate. And you know what? She was at home. She took care of her kids. They made a little bit of money for the house that they were about to buy, and everything went perfectly well. Right? That's what it is. I got to put my hand into the problem. Then I'm absolutely going to do that. And you know what? Let's not be lazy at those things. Don't hold back when you have the opportunity to fix the problem with some good old-fashioned work. All right, we think about that as well. Well, you know what? And I pick on my boys, but I love my boys. I'm proud of my boys. I absolutely think that they do a decent job at everything other than being quiet. But I'm proud of them. There's some people that look over at other people's kids and they go, well, I wish my kids were like that. All right, well, that's a good wish to have. You wish your kids were good and proper and sat down. How much time are you putting into them to help them? You know what we do sometimes? We use that time where we were doing church online to train them how to sit at church. Because I don't know if you believe me or not, but we were having trouble. Quite recently, we went back to that practice. We put some sermons on the television, and we practiced sitting down. Xander came over to me. He says, you know what? I kind of like this. It was kind of nice. It was. You'd think, well, you can't use sermons as a punishment. It didn't really feel like a punishment to me. I sat there, and Xander liked it, and I didn't really ask Caspian, but we'll talk about that later. It was a good time. How much time are you putting into that? I could think of 1,000 other things I could do with 30 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on who's preaching. You know, I can think of 1,000 things to do with that. But that's a good thing. You know what? If we have issues again, we'll go back to it. Or you know what? Even if we just want to, we'll go back to it. We'll practice at it. How much time are you putting into your kids? How much time are you putting into the things that are causing you problems? You've got to look at what you have and then solve the problems with what God has already given you. Right? We need to be thankful for our daily provisions. We need to be thankful for, not be mindful of the things that we don't have, but look at the things that we do. One of my favorite books growing up was a book called The Hatchet. The main character in the book survives because his dad taught him two very powerful lessons. And they're lessons that kind of stuck with me for a long time. Number one, because in the story, if you've never read it before, he was traveling in an airplane and the plane wrecks and he gets stuck on a deserted island, that scenario. And all that he has with him is some mild tools and a hatchet. And his dad taught him, take stock of what you have. Lay it out. And then use what you have to get what you don't have. And we've lost that as an art. Right? We look at so much of what other things are going on out there, despite what God says, thinking, I need to have all those things before I can do anything good. By all time, I hear this all the time, and it bothers me. Well, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not this, I'm not that to serve the Lord. Come on in, I'll show you how to do it. It's not that hard. God never called us to anything of so much terrible of an intricacy. I don't know anybody that couldn't do things. Now listen, not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody's good at certain things. You know, we have some folks that are wonderful cooks. We have some folks that don't. You know what? If you're not very good at it, join me in taking out the trash. You know, that's what we do. You're not expected to do everything. Right? And sometimes there are transitions and changes in ministry. We don't feel bad about those things either. Those things just happen. But what we want to do is we don't want to be in a position where we go, well, I'm not smart enough. Because you can do something about that. Do you have a brain? Yes. Good. All right. We're on the track now. Can your brain pick up nuances? Yes. Can your brain process sentences? Yes. Right? Okay, good. We can make you into this or that or whatever have you. Right? I get nervous about the music ministry. Always have, always will. You know, some of you people that can do amazing things with instruments. Some of you folks that can sing. You wow me. You really do. But you know what? I would even dare to say that if it got so bad to where I'd have to force myself to have a good ear, force myself to learn music. Guess what? If that's what God needed, that's what I would have to do. And I couldn't make excuses like, well, I don't feel confident. I don't feel this. I don't feel like that. I would have to apply myself to it. It is not about what you don't have. So often we need to take the blessings God has given us and do something with them. Right? Count what you have. All right? So we take those two lessons that we learned from that book and is scattered throughout all of Scripture. Right? Look at what you have. Put it to good use. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ, we just preached on this. All right? What's the problem? We've got all these people and you know what? They're getting hungry. Right? What was their solution? Well, let's disperse. God said no. Or Jesus says no. Let's have some fellowship. What do we have? Well, we've got these loaves and these fishes. All right. Well, bring them to me. We're going to do something with it. Again, we look at the Lord Jesus Christ again. We see we got to get the church started. So who are we going to pick? He didn't pick the top tier of everything that he had because guess what? There really is no top tier of serving the Lord. Nobody's born for it. We all have stuff to learn. So he grabbed these fishermen and he grabbed this accountant and he grabbed this doctor. He grabbed these 12 group of people together and put them to work and taught them and trained them and gave them everything that they physically needed, right? He didn't come down with some pre-made men. He didn't create some men out of the dust that would be perfect at the service. He used what was available and he embedded it. Put what you have not just to use, but to proper use. Daniel lived his entire life in what many of us would call disadvantagement. Well, brother, wait a minute. He was one of the princes. Like he is really. No, he was stolen from his home. He was forced into a land he did not recognize, given a name that his mom didn't give him, all right, a name he wouldn't have wanted to call himself by, forced into a religious and governmental system that was anti the God he served and loved. He fought it every day. And whenever he would succeed, a bunch of the people around him who could not do what God made him able to do grumbled, whined, and complained and tried to get his life on one particular occasion, tried to end his life over it. He fought in disadvantagement. But you know what? He used what he had. Daniel chapter 2 verse 23 says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. This is at a particular point where the king says, listen, I had a bad dream. Okay, what was it about? I don't know, but you have to tell me what it's about, and you have to tell me what it's about. What? Tell me what the dream was, and then tell me what it means. That's impossible, right? Delberta, last night I had a dream. Can you tell me what it was? No, idiot, I wasn't there. I was having my own dreams. She would never call me that. At least you wouldn't. No? Okay, good. And I'll tempt you later. No. What a dumb thing for a ruler to say, for a king to say. What an absolutely moronic statement. And he also threatened to kill people who were in the process of it, right? Well, I'm so grateful. There's Daniel at the end of the victory. I'm so grateful that you made known to me this king's matter. And he did it more than once, filling old Daniel in on the stuff that nobody else could have possibly known. Listen, God has given you a certain knowledge. He has given you access to knowledge. He has given you access to people in your lives that can help you put that knowledge into practice. You're not as stuck as the devil wants you to feel. You're not as without as your flesh wants you to feel. Right, we fall into another trap too. We call it those commercial traps. I have learned a lot about human psychology, and I've learned a lot about marketing. Learned a lot about it. It was my job for the longest time, marketing, and then it became like the boring stuff, the boring office paperwork and accounting stuff. But marketing was always my favorite. I know a lot about marketing. You know what gets me every time? They'll play a commercial for like a Coke. I don't even drink Coke. I'll drink Coke Zero, but they'll play a commercial for a Coke. Shh. And it's all misty and it's all nice. And I go, see, they're making it look that way to entice the brain. And it affects this portion of the brain. It makes me call back to memories of me having it, especially when it's like at a barbecue. So now I'm thinking about hot dogs and hamburgers and popping a cold drink. I didn't want that. But at the end of the commercial, despite me knowing all the tricks, what do I want? That. Right? Why? Well, they have it. Think about this for those of you that watch situation comedies or you watch different dramas on TV. You ever notice how they have stuff? You always see this. Somebody's got a cup of coffee or they've got a snack or they've got a drink. And you've got that and you go, well, they're not advertising anything. There's no label to it. What are they doing? They're showing you the affluence of that person, right? Here we are. We're all getting together. And in this scene, we're all getting, we're at the spa. We're getting our mani-pedis and all this stuff is getting done. And we're spending $100 here and $100 there. And what are we discussing? We're discussing how we're going to get the rent. And in our brains, we're so caught up in the story, we don't realize that we're spending this money at the coffee shop, spending this money at this restaurant. We've got no money to pay the bills. We've got no money to fix whatever the problem or the conflict is in the story. We got to have money to fix this. Meanwhile, we're spending hundreds of dollars. Right? That suspension of disbelief that's being asked for. You know why that's there? It makes us desire things. It gives that desire. And what that does is that triggers that inside you and it engages you in the story. Something that should obviously disengage you. Well, wait a minute. If they need to save the farm, why are we getting mani-pedis at $100 each? Like, what's happening? Not that I know what mani-pedis are. I just heard Brother Mark talking about it. But you know, why are we doing this? You know, we suspend that idea. Why? Because for whatever reason, it engages us into the story when we see a character with a $7 cup of coffee or they're out at the bar racking up this huge bill. It engages us into the story. But what it leaves us with this opinion is, in this hand should always be a $7 cup of coffee. I should always have the best and the brightest of the nails or the scalp or the hair or the whatever it is that you get done, right? I should always have the best of it. Well, guess what? You don't need the best of it. And in all honesty, if you chase the best of it, you'll never get it. You'll never feel like that. Danielle went out and she got a brand new phone. And guess what I saw advertised? This was, 2 weeks ago? Now, that wasn't me bragging. Her phone Pie puts Charlie, you know, Charlie's probably puts hers to shame, and he's got a flip phone. Like, it was bad. Like, at one particular point, I probably wouldn't have even used her phone as a paperweight. But she went out, she got herself a new phone. And it was, as the person said, one of the coolest, one of the best, one of the brightest. It's got a really nice camera on it, does this, does that, does all sorts of things. Yesterday, I saw a commercial for an upgrade to that phone. And I go, come on! Chase after it, if you will. But you'll never catch the best and the brightest. Why? Because while you're buying, they're making. Someone's in the back somewhere in this field, and they're making a brand new whatever it is you think you're going to get. You're not going to chase down the best and the brightest. But if you tune your heart to keep up with the Joneses, so to say, you'll always be discontent. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never be grateful for the things you have. And I mentioned this before, for the people that do have things, if you don't have things, this is even more important for you. Don't waste the things you have. I've seen so many people, again, they get into that thing, I've got massive amounts of credit card debt. Okay, well, what are we going to do? Well, I tell you what, can we go over to the Starbucks and let's have a conversation? You don't need to go to the Starbucks. You need to take that money and you need to put that to your credit card. Right? Well, I've got a massive gambling problem. All right, well, I tell you what are you doing? I don't know, but after I get back from the casino, I'm going to straighten this thing around. And it's kind of comical, but at the same time, you're like, what are you doing? Right? One of the biggest fires that we had in one of our properties, the person tried to fix the fire that they had by pouring water on it. It was a grease fire, made it worse. And I see that so often where people have sin problems. They've got gambling problems. They've got money problems. They've got relationship problems. And the very thing they did to dig the hole is what they're using to fix it. And it drives me nuts. Right? Talked to a young man one time. He had all these issues, all these things going on in his life. And I go, well, how are you fixing this? He goes, Matt, at the best that I can do is to keep doing the things so that I can stay calm. Basically, what you're saying is I'm going to fill this hole with the same shovel I'm using to dig it. I'm going to keep digging, and eventually I'll find this hole full. That's not how it works. It'll collapse with you inside of it. You will die in this problem. You have to change what you're doing. Don't waste the things you have. Right? There are very brilliant people in this room, I am sure. There are very brilliant people that I have known that have thrown that brilliance away, either with drugs or just staring in front of a screen for far too long. Right, they've got the ability to do incredible things. Right, Einstein would not be Einstein. We would not talk about him the way that we do today if he just sat out there fishing all day. What did he do? He took what he had and he put it to work. Right, Joshua. Joshua had many great blessings from the Lord, but they would have done nothing if he didn't put it to the effort. Don't waste things. Put your resources to good use. Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Put the effort in. We see also in there, don't covet. Being discontent will not help you fix a single problem. Russell Conwell told of a story of an ancient Persian, Ali Hafed, who owned a very large farm that had orchards and grain fields and gardens. And it was very beautiful. And Ali, he sat there one day with a friend, and the friend told him, you know what would be amazing is on this beautiful farm of yours, if you could find a diamond. And he was telling him about diamond mines and how much money you could make on those. And Ali Hafed, he got so excited, he sold the farm, sold his family into slavery, and took off looking for diamonds. Well, he never found him. He invested in bad ground after bad ground. Finally, being completely bankrupt, he killed himself. Later on, the guy who had bought Ali Hafed's land, he was out there and he was taking care of it. And he was feeding one of his animals by a stream. And he saw this really pretty rock. And he picked it up and he looked at it. It was all rainbow colored on the inside. All right, cloudy, didn't look as pretty as and what we would think a diamond was. It didn't look very valuable, but it was pretty. So he took it home and he put it up on his mantelpiece. A priest had come by and he looked at that and he goes, what are you doing with a diamond? Ali Hafed's land had one of the biggest diamond mines we know of today. Five of the biggest diamonds, the most beautiful diamonds, the most expensive diamonds you can buy today come from that ground. All he had to do is work with what he had and he would have had it made. He would have had what he wanted. The problem is we chase what we want. We don't better what we have. Right? Well, I wish I could. Yeah, I've done that before. I'll listen to some of the preachers online. I'll listen to some of the sermons that we've got on there. And I've listened to some of the other preachers. I go, man, I wish I could preach like that. Man, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. You know what? Brother Bill, I could wish all I want to preach like another person. You know what's going to happen? Nothing. I'm just going to be sad. I'm just going to be sad. But you know what I could do? I could study what I'm doing. I could work with what I do have. Pick this up. Work at it. Be better. I wish my marriage, I wish my kids, I wish that my work, I wish all this would be like what other people have. Well, that's not going to get you anywhere. You know what you can do? You pick these up and put them into the problems. You take this as your how to do it, and you get it together. You get it together, right? This is what I have. I can't do anything about what I don't have, all right, until I figure out what I do have. And I can either get what I don't have, or I could build what I don't have, and we'll get this done. God has given you what you need. Don't covet. We look at what Paul would go on to say, verse 13 of our text. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, this is after him saying, listen, I know how to be abased. I know how to have. I know how to don't have. I can do these things regardless. Through what? Through Christ. Whether you think you're sufficiently equipped or not, we still have the ability to do all things. And I hear people say Jesus' name is almost as if it's some kind of cute little epitaph, right? Well, I've got Jesus. Almost like Jesus is like a good luck stone or a lucky rabbit's foot. Well, I have faith. What do you mean you have faith? Well, I have faith. Well, define that for me. Because the way I define it is following any instruction that's his, right? F-A-I-T-H, following any instruction that's his. That's faith. And I put that into practice. Well, I have Jesus in my heart. Okay, well, let's get literal on this, right? The answer to your problems is not having Jesus Christ in your left ventricle. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is this, is I have the teachings, the instructions, and the mindset of Jesus Christ that are being applied to my life. That's when you have Jesus in your problems, is when you have his opinion in there. We used to have this plumber that we would work with. He could fix anything. And I tried. We had a really bad property. I tried to break this guy. He could fix anything. Right? He was a Russian guy. I could never pronounce his name. Could never say it right. But every time we would call that company, they would send him out. Because I love this guy. I'd like to have him in my problem if I'm having a plumbing problem. Every issue that I have in my life, I need the wit and wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need the teachings of God my Father into my life to handle those things. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in students, in stewards, that a man be found faithful. Are you a steward? Well, what do you mean am I a steward? Did God give you things? Yes. You are a steward of those things, right? I have children. One of them is trying to outpreach me again. I've got children. Those are not my children. Yes, they are my children, but they're not my children, right? They belong to the Father. I am but a steward. I parent them. I father them. I do everything that God would instruct of me to them. But ultimately, I need to raise them as I would be doing it for God, right? Same thing in my marriage, same thing in whatever work that I am doing. Whatever that is, I'm stewarding that for God. And in order for me to be a steward, a good steward, it's required of me to be faithful. Faithful to doctrine, faithful to practice, faithful to Scripture. We can do all things through Christ in that way. So we're good in our stewardship. How about service? 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Which means as I have, I share. As I have the ability, I do. And we were kind of joking around in the back, and by the way, I forgot to mention this. You know what? There are certain bits that Home Baptist Church does that Flat Rock doesn't do. And I've voiced this many, many times that I want to learn, right? And so I've had a few people say, hey, listen, you know, we do this and we do this and we do that. And I think Brother Charlie asks, he goes, how do you feel about that? No, just keep telling me. Just keep telling me. right? So we're going to have the Carters come up. We're going to give you one more right hand of fellowship, what we're going to do. That's what we should have done this morning. So I'll have you guys come up at the end. So we just shake your hand, give you a hug. We're so very glad to have you. Hey, listen, this is what we do. You have knowledge. You give it to me. Now I have knowledge, right? I have knowledge. I give it to you. Now you have knowledge. It's beautiful. It's a good practice. I have strength. I give it to your problems. I have time to pray. I give it to your issues. You do the same for me. We share. That is the essence of family. That is the essence of a church, is that we give it, we give to each other in that way. We need to be building, right? Well, what happens when I don't have something? Well, I go get it. Brother Bowen down in 12 Ryan, he's not the pastor anymore, he's retired, but he's teaching a class. He's teaching a class to young preachers. And I go, well, I don't know if I fall into young anymore. I go, but is that an open class? Can I show up to that? He says, well, yeah. And he kind of looked surprised. He almost kind of looked surprised that I would ask. And you know what? I'm confident in the level of education that I've had. I've had quite a bit of education, and the education rolls on. But you want to know why I want to go to that class? Because, man, I bet he's got something up in that head I've never seen before. Right? And I'll hear the same thing where, well, that's that young preacher over here and that young preacher over there. You know what I like to do? I like to listen to young preachers, because you want to know what? Lord's going to give them something he never necessarily gave to me, and I might need that thing, so let me have it. Right? You just kind of look at some people with all the wit and all the wisdom that God has given them. You go, man, there's stuff in there, and I want it. Right? We kind of joked. My pastor keeps the pastor at Flat Rock, you know, Pastor Hugood, he talks about this. He goes, yeah, I got to start thinning out my book collection a little bit. I said, well, what kind of truck do you need me to come over with? Because I'll come over. We'll clean that right out. There's stuff in there. Need that. Listen, it's not a matter of coveting things. It's a matter of being content. And not content to the point to where I take my hands off the wheel and I stop trying. Right? Keep at it. Keeping a parent, keeping a worker, keeping whatever it is that you're doing in your capacity. You know, don't be afraid of hard work. You know, put the effort in. Do what you've got to do to solve the problems. But be content with what you have, and you'll always find God's solution to those things. Right? We will sit there, and I can preach those messages. You know, I tease some of these million-dollar preachers for the way that they do it. 5 things to have a better, successful life. 10 things in order to get rid of all the stress and anxiety in your life. Buy my book and you can... It's easy for me. You've already got the book sitting in your lap. Right? There's 66 things you need to know, and they're sitting right there in front of you. We look at... I'm content with what the Lord has given me. Yeah, there's some bumps, there's some bruises, there's some hurdles. I'm going to take what God has given me and put effort into it, but I will be content along the way, because I know that God loves me, and he's not going to, and his promises that he has made, he's not going to leave me alone on this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are humbled by you. Lord, we're grateful. You give